You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
We're going to have Peter Schweizer on the show today. He's out with a new book called Blood Money, Why the Powerful Turns a Blind Eye While China Kills Americans. For this book, him and his team of forensic investigators spent more than 2 years going through a trove of restricted Chinese military documents, data mining on American financial records and tracking political leaders, investments, and family businesses. So what did they find? That's what we'll get into with Peter. You know, just how much does China control our politicians? What industries do they have a stranglehold over? And how does that impact our lives? How does that impact Americans? All that and more with Peter Schweizer, author of the new book, Blood Money. Well, Peter, it's always great to have you on the show. You always just have the most interesting information, so I always do a great job breaking it down. So just really appreciate you making the time.
Absolutely. Always enjoy it, Lisa. Thanks.
Thanks. So your new book, Blood Money, you talk about why the powerful turns a blind eye. I guess, you know, we'll start with sort of the most obvious question. You know, why do they turn a blind eye?
It's a good question. I think there's some people in Washington, probably the majority of them, that turn a blind eye because they got to Washington, they kind of go along to get along, they don't want a heavy lift. And when you realize what China is doing to the United States, you realize quickly you can't have a normal relationship with this country. So part of our leadership class doesn't want to do anything because they don't want to have a difficult job. But I think there's a smaller portion, but a significant portion that turn a blind eye because they are financially or relationally compromised. They have relationships or have had relationships with people. They're involved in these activities. They profited from it either directly or indirectly. And it's deeply embarrassing and politically damaging for them to address it. So they look away for those highly personal reasons.
You know, we know that Senator Dianne Feinstein had employed a driver for, I think, something like 20 years, a Chinese spy. Eric Swalwell had a relationship with a Chinese spy. Did you get into to what extent and how often that happens? You know, how many politicians are compromised in that way?
I think there's a fair number, and they're at very high levels. In Blood Money, I talk about the Bidens. I talk about the Republican leader, Senator Mitch McConnell, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, Adam Schiff, and there are others. But I focus on those because they all have important positions and roles, and they have, I think, been particularly responsible for refusing to even explore or investigate or to try to understand what China's actually doing to this country. So those are the ones that I think matter the most, and those are the ones that I think have been the most silent when it comes to these activities.
For Mitch McConnell, you know, to what extent is he entangled with China?
It's pretty deep and it's pretty financial. It goes back to 1993 when he was a senator and married to Elaine Chao. He joined Elaine and his father-in-law, James Chao, for a trip to China. They were guests of the Chinese State Shipbuilding Corporation. And basically a bargain was struck. The Chao family made a deal with the Chinese government where the Chinese government would build the ships for their shipping business. They would finance the construction of those ships. They would provide crews for those ships. And they would provide contracts from Chinese state-owned companies to ship their goods around the Pacific. That really built and made the shipping business as it exists today, Foremost Shipping, which is the Chao family business. What that means, though, Lisa, is that if the senator were to make a decision or to say things or do things that were deeply damaging to China, they could literally destroy the shipping business overnight. And I think that's the reason you will have Mitch McConnell, pay lip service to talking tough about China, but he won't actually do anything about it. The Chinese call this big help with a little bad mouth. They recognize that for political viability, people like Senator McConnell have to say tough things. But on the big, important things that matter to them most, McConnell has been quite helpful. And that's just one example of how this political leverage works and leads our leaders to be silent when they should be, you know, honestly raising hell about what China is doing to Americans.
You know, we know that Biden has continuously tried to distance himself from his son's business dealings. Is there any ambiguity to you, or are you just completely sold on the fact that Joe Biden was involved in his son's business dealings?
Well, yeah, he was involved in his son's business dealings. And there's one particular deal I highlight in the book Blood Money that I think explains why Joe Biden will not hold China into account, will not call them out on the issue of fentanyl. Fentanyl, people focus on the Mexican drug cartels. It's really a Chinese operation from beginning to end. And I lay that out in the book. But here's the problem for Joe Biden and why I think he doesn't want to address that issue. A Chinese criminal gang called UBG set up the Sinaloa cartel in Mexico and made them the kings of fentanyl. And that fentanyl now is the leading cause of death for Americans under the age of 45. This Chinese criminal gang, UBG, is headed by a gentleman named Zhang An Lo, who goes by the name White Wolf. White Wolf's business partner in 2017, gave the Biden family, in the communication, it doesn't say Hunter, gave the Biden family a $5 million forgivable interest-free loan that the Bidens have never repaid. So you essentially have, Lisa, one degree of separation between the Biden family and the fentanyl trade that is killing Americans. I'm not suggesting Joe Biden's involved in the trade, but that is perilously close and deeply embarrassing for the Biden family. So that, I think, explains why Joe Biden does not want to call out China on this issue, does not want to challenge them for what they're doing and the harm that it's causing Americans.
You know, and to what extent is China involved in our fentanyl crisis?
They are really the senior partner. The drug cartels are the junior partner. Every link in this chain, China calls the shots. People know the precursors come from China, of course. They arrive at the port of Manzanillo in Mexico. DEA says that's 90% of the fentanyl precursors arrive there. That port in Manzanillo is run by a Chinese state-owned company. Those precursors then shipped to a town in northern Mexico, where, according to our Department of Homeland Security, 2,000 Chinese nationals live in this Mexican town, and they turn these precursors into fentanyl, this poison that is killing all of these Americans. Now, people that are dying of fentanyl poisoning don't know they're taking fentanyl. They think they're taking a Vicodin or an Adderall or something like that. So the drug cartels need pill presses and they need molds that can make the fentanyl into something that looks like an Adderall or a Vicodin. Well, where the cartels get the pill presses and the molds, they get them from the Chinese, who, according to the Department of Homeland Security, sell those to the drug cartels at cost. In other words, they're not price gouging them. Now, once they've made the fentanyl in these pills, they bring them into the United States. The drug cartels need secure communications because they don't want U.S. law enforcement listening in, eavesdropping. They use Chinese apps and Chinese communication devices encrypted in China because they know that the Chinese will not turn over those communications to U.S. law enforcement. And then, Lisa, the final link in the chain is the money laundering. Any drug cartel that is making money needs to launder that money somewhere. And it used to be in the days when it was mostly cocaine and heroin that the drug cartels laundered their money in Latin American banks. Today, Lisa, they launder their money in Chinese state-owned banks, and they oftentimes use Chinese students in the United States on education visas to do so. So, as I said, this is a Chinese-led operation. The drug cartels are the junior partners here, and they each get out of this what they want.
You know, you're always covering government corruption over the years and, you know, so many best-selling books. When you were researching for this one, what were some of the examples that even stood out to you as someone who has seen it all, so to speak, where you're like, man, this is really bad? You know, give us some examples where you were just like, even you were alarmed and having seen it all.
Yeah. Well, in terms of some of the activities of the Chinese, probably the most surprising to me was that two of the biggest funders of the trans movement in the United States are actually Chinese-based billionaires. That really surprised me. I name them in the book, describe who they are. They are prominent people in China. And what's surprising about this, Lisa, is that neither one of them actually advocates for these positions in China itself. They only do it in the United States, and I think they do it to sow division within our country. In terms of the personal corruption in the United States, probably the most surprising was Gavin Newsom, former mayor of San Francisco, current governor. He has longtime ties to organized crime figures, Chinese organized crime figures, who are involved in the drug trade. I'm not suggesting that he participates in that or that he's involved in it, but he has struck relationships with figures that are known to be involved with these crime syndicates, and these crime syndicates are known to be involved in the drug trade. He has benefited from those relationships. They have certainly benefited from their ties to him. And some of these are relationships that go years back, and there are multitudes of them. So that was probably the biggest surprise to me. I think anybody that reads the book will see Gavin Newsom differently after they read this book.
And of course, that's concerning because, you know, he clearly, even Stevie Wonder can see that he's wants to run for president one day. So yeah. That's concerning, right? That he's got these ties.
Yeah. And it affects his judgment. I mean, California has seen an increase in fentanyl deaths since 2016 of over 1,400%. And yet when Gavin Newsom went to China recently, he said he talked to Xi about fentanyl, but in his words, there was, quote, no finger pointing. How you cannot point your fingers, I think, is just ridiculous. And I think these ties explain it because these figures that he is connected to are linked to these criminal networks that are involved in the drug trade.
Well, and of course, this makes it impossible to hold China to account, you know, for anything, because if they're the ones holding all the leverage over us, then, you know, what leverage do we have to hold over them?
Yeah. And they understand how to use that leverage effectively. If we lose this contest to China, it will not be because they have a better system or they are a better people. It will be because our leadership sold out and has not served us well.
Let's take a quick commercial break. More with Peter Schweizer on the other side.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL Schedule Release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule-release to learn more.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Talk a little bit about when you look at TikTok. I'm of two minds with TikTok. One, I don't think it's ever going to get banned. So part of me thinks, okay, we need to meet voters where they are. And a lot of those voters are on TikTok. The other part knows that, you know, China's spying on us through its ownership over ByteDance. But then I also, you know, our own government spying on us, including the post office. So, you know, get into kind of your take on TikTok and kind of what information they're taking from us and how, you know, they're leveraging it.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you're quite right, Lisa. We're having this debate in this country about TikTok and its role. There's no debate in China about this in terms of TikTok in the United States. I quote in the book extensively from Chinese military officials, officials with the Ministry of Propaganda. I look at how ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, is run and who's running it. And they all speak openly amongst themselves in these documents, in these articles, about how TikTok is the Trojan horse that they are able to use to undermine particularly young people in the United States and use it as a propaganda vehicle. One Chinese military official calls it the ultimate Trojan horse. Others describe in intimate detail how you use it as a medium and how they are using it as a medium to manipulate young people in America. You know, I'm not talking about propaganda of, you know, placards of Chairman Mao and marching martial music with PLA soldiers. This is very, very subtle stuff, but it's sophisticated stuff designed to appeal particularly to the emotion of young people. And they talk about how the power of emotion on TikTok is such that young people, you know, get emotionally moved by things they are seeing on TikTok. And they believe that that is righteous indignation that they themselves have developed. What these propagandists say is no, that we can manipulate them. We are manipulating them. And once they believe it's righteous indignation, they now become malleable. We can manipulate their attitudes and their views on other things. They're very explicit about this. So my view is that it's not just that it's a spy application. It is a conveyor belt of propaganda and propaganda that's highly sophisticated. So I agree with you. You can't ban it. Something else will emerge. I do believe that forcing the sale to an American company is not ideal, but it is a better solution. I would rather have an American company that is subject to, you know, our regulation and disclosure with the right political leadership than have this powerful app controlled by a company that is led by people who worked at the Chinese Ministry of Propaganda and who are working closely with the Chinese Ministry of State Security.
Well, I mean, you know, even if you mentioned the trans issue and connection to China, I mean, even if you look at that issue, alone, the, you know, higher percentage of young people who are mutilating their bodies, you know, also leads to population decreases and a variety of other issues as well. Mentally unhealthy, you know, young people that turn into mentally unhealthy adults. So even that issue alone has done great damage to our country.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think they've zeroed in on that. There's a lot that I discuss in the book about how the most radical groups that led the most violent protests in 2020 on BLM and are now leading the most violent pro-Hamas protests are two groups called FRSO and PSL. And these are groups that have deep abiding ties to China. Some of it is financially flows through a billionaire based in China. And what they do, Lisa, is they try to take an issue and push it to its most extreme because they know that it's divisive. So during the 2020 protests, there were people out there saying, you know, I'm concerned about, you know, are the police, you know, treating when they pull over a young black man, are they treating them the right way? Okay, you can have that fair conversation. That's fine. But what these groups were doing instead was causing riots and saying all cops are racists, abolish the police. When it comes to the situation in the Middle East, I certainly side with Israel, but for people who, you know, are more, let's say, idealistic in the sense of saying, I just want to have peace, maybe out there protesting, these groups are not saying they want peace. They are avowedly pro-Hamas. So they are designing these protests to sow social division. China's backing these organizations. These organizations have pledged their fealty to China. And it's one of the reasons we have a lot of social tumult in our country is precisely because these organizations that are working and being supported by China.
You know, and as China distracts us with, you know, all these internal divisions that were, well, I guess, externally driven, internal driven, issues that we're facing, you know, what are they planning for, you know, behind the scenes?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. They call it disintegration warfare. It was a book published by military officers in 2010. It's been adopted by President Xi. And disintegration warfare basically says, let's defeat the United States without actually firing a shot. That's the mark of a truly great strategist. It's straight out of the old ancient strategist Sun Tzu, the hallmark of a great strategist who defeats the enemy without fighting him. So that is their goal. It is absolutely, as you say, a distraction, but it is also a hope that they can so diminish and throw the United States into chaos that the United States will basically fragment socially. You look at the violence in American streets. I mean, I'll highlight the fact that since 2018, the Chinese have been smuggling into the United States these small devices, highly illegal, called Glock switches or auto sear switches. And Lisa, what these do is they convert an ordinary handgun into a machine gun. They convert a Glock handgun into a machine gun. The Chinese specifically targeted these at criminal gangs and organizations in the United States. This is designed to sow chaos on our streets, and it's working. A lot of American cities now have machine gun fire in a way that we haven't seen since the 1930s, and the police are now outgunned. China's been doing this since 2018. It's part of a concerted strategy in sowing chaos. And again, the ultimate goal is the disintegration of the United States.
Quick break, more on how China controls our country.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Was COVID released intentionally or unintentionally by China?
It's hard to say. I would say the safer guess would be it was probably unintentional. But as I lay out in the book, they did a whole host of things once they knew what they were dealing with to maximize the body count in the United States. So we now know that in November of 2019, they knew they had a virus. And they also, Lisa, knew that this virus was transmittable from person to person. But they didn't tell the West that part until the end of January. So they almost had 3 months where they knew that this was transferred from person to person before they told the rest of the world. What did they do? They cornered the market on protective masks and medical supplies. I'm not talking about the cloth masks they were telling everybody to wear. I'm talking about the K95 masks that our medical personnel used when they were treating people with COVID. The Chinese bought all of that up from around the world. So when they finally told us, there was none available. That's why there was a shortage. They did that intentionally because they wanted to maximize the damage and the effect that this illness had on the United States. And there are multiple other examples of things that they did to ensure that our body count would be much higher than it was.
That's kind of what my line of thinking too, but obviously, you know, you've done a lot more research into it than I have. You know, I read the other day that the U.S. government has launched an investigation into national security risks posed by foreign-made vehicles, particularly from China, and also with, you know, electric vehicles, especially as vehicles become more computerized. Well, first of all, I worry that our own government's going to, you know, try to use it to spy on us and do whatever else. But how big of a concern is that to you, and sort of what are the different tools that China uses to spy on Americans?
It's a great question. They use every really conceivable tool, and they want information about us. They also want information about our DNA during COVID testing, for example, during the pandemic. A lot of tests were being done, and that data was being shared with Chinese companies and the Chinese government. They were actually doing COVID tests of White House personnel in the Trump White House, and that DNA information of White House personnel was actually shared with a Chinese-owned company, and the Chinese are collecting that information. So they want information because it gives them the ability to control. It also gives them the ability, informs their ability to create future weapons. What's so disconcerting, I think, about the pandemic is not just the loss of people and the loss of freedom that we experienced, but that this creates a whole new benchmarks for weapons. And the Chinese are known to be researching right now genetic weapons that would profile people with certain genetic profiles. In other words, you could literally say, I want to create a weapon and I want to only kill Ashkenazi Jews, or I only want to kill these strain of people from Norway. That's how specific and precise they can become. So I distrust the Chinese government. I distrust, our federal government to collect that data. But when you have that data, it gives you information, it gives you power. And as China has demonstrated, they have ill intentions towards the United States. So we should be very concerned about any mechanism they have to collect information on us.
No, that is extremely terrifying. I think one way, you know, you look at these college campuses, which you had mentioned earlier, and all the craziness there. One, I think diversity, equity, inclusion, all that nonsense. But also, there's a lot of foreign money going into our schools, and a lot of these universities and colleges fail to report it. To what role has China influenced our educational outcomes via, you know, donations and money flowing into higher education?
They've had an enormous effect, especially on certain campuses. Yale University, for example, their biggest donor is a guy named Joe Tsai. He's the co-founder of Alibaba, which is the Amazon of China. Is also a government, a company that is closely wedded to the Chinese state. In fact, some people believe it's actually owned by the Chinese government outright, even though it's a publicly traded company. But Joe Tsai has given a lot of money to Yale, and there are people at Yale University, faculty members and students alike, that says you can't talk about certain things. You cannot talk about openly about the treatment of the Uyghurs. Yale will suppress that information. So it's an enormous concern, an enormous problem. And this is the lever that China always uses. They use it on our politicians. They use it on our college campuses. And we don't know the full extent of the problem, Lisa, because in Joe Tsai's case, Joe Tsai's, $20 billion plus fortune is because of Alibaba, which is, linked at the hip with the Chinese state. But Joe Tsai set up a foundation in California, and he claims, and Yale claims, that the money comes from the California Foundation. So it's not even listed as Chinese money, per se. He has another foundation set up in the Isle of Guernsey, which is a tax shelter off the British coast. He's donated money from Yale. So money that should be showing up as coming from China is actually showing that it's coming from Guernsey. So there are ways they mask. So we don't know the full extent of how much Chinese money is flowing into these campuses. But there needs to be full, honest, and clear disclosure in those cases. There should not be these deceptive practices. And we should be made aware of what foreign money is flowing to these schools. There should be open disclosure. They're required to do so according to a 1965 Department of Education law, but a lot of the universities don't honor their requirements under that law and simply don't disclose it.
Because you would think that if they're giving money to the schools, they're getting something out of that. And we already know how China, uses access to their market to control movies and what's in movies and all those different things. Can any American company do business with or in China without being compromised?
I don't think so. Look, if you're a potato chip company, and you get compromised, okay, I don't know that that's a huge problem. But when you're talking about technology and you're talking about companies that are involved in engineering and computers and chips and artificial intelligence, the consequences are absolutely enormous. And no, you cannot operate in China. They will leverage the position and you have to be prepared to walk away. And these companies aren't. They think the money's too good, so they're prepared to essentially compromise themselves for the benefit of access to that market.
Well, I think that's one of the really sad things that, we've always kind of known it, but I think especially during COVID, we all kind of learned that everything is profit-driven. None of it's about our health, and none of it's about our best interest or America's best interest. It's the bottom line's always money. And greed for the people in charge, it seems, which is sad. What do you hope people take away from this book?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. First of all, I think we have to be alert and aware of what's going on. I wrote this book because initially I was looking at so many things happening in this country, the domestic violence, the social division, the chaos. And I wondered what was going on and realized that, there are divisions in this country. I'm not minimizing that. But China is absolutely exacerbating them. So the first thing is awareness of what's going on and who is doing this to us. The second part is to recognize those leaders that are failing us, that will not talk about this. I mean, this is not just corruption that's putting money in the pockets of politicians. This is corruption with real consequence. It has a body count associated with it. If there's grounds for optimism, I would say, Lisa, I think if you read the book, you're going to be shocked and upset by what China's doing, what our leaders are doing. But I think you're also going to come away with the fact that, perhaps we are not quite as divided as we all think we are. China is absolutely fanning the flames. They're doing so. They run millions of social media accounts in the West posing as Americans. I describe this in the book. Half of them basically say America is a hopelessly racist, bigoted society. The other half basically say I only like white people. They're doing this to try to magnify divisions that I don't think are as severe as they actually are among ordinary people. So there's grounds for optimism here, I think, as well.
All right. Well, we always try to have some of that on the show because it can get pretty dark out there, Peter, as you know. So.
It can, unfortunately, yes.
So you're saying there's a chance. Peter Schweizer, it's always, I always enjoy having you come on the show. You're always just a wealth of information. You do so much research, and we just always appreciate you bringing that to the show. So just thank you so much for your time, and thanks for writing the book and bringing our attention to an issue that's really important.
Well, thank you, Lisa. It's always good to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
And that was Peter Schweizer, author of the new book, Blood Money, Why the Powerful Turns a Blind Eye While China Kills Americans. We appreciate him making the time. Appreciate you at home for listening. I want to thank John Cassio, my producer, for putting the show together. Until next time.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.